This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's race at Richmond and hear from your winner and playoff eligible driver, unlike last year, Mr. Austin Dillon. All the three-car fans are pumped. Tons of news in the world of NASCAR, a lot of I am not happy about. And so Alex Hayden with MRN will join us, and I'm sure he's not happy about it either, as he kind of broke a little of that news earlier this week to us, kind of behind the scenes. But we head to Daytona, which may put some sprinkles on that ice cream cone. Is it going to be the end of the regular season? And we'll finally set the playoff grids, and we'll get you ready for that. That means Jason Scott and I will actually have a chance at winning it something. It's the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not super confident about that.
We'll have the Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy Standings and much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle, to my radio ride, all things Alabama. We're getting it cranked up in a couple of weeks. The man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, keeping us on the air. He sits across the table. That's the super producer, Scott Webb. In a Detroit Tigers shirt today, as I watched the little Detroit Tigers on True TV last night, as they walked off, I think at the in the bottom of the night. So,
and then won 7-2 this afternoon. So, great sweep of the Astros.
Says all three Detroit Tiger fans in
our area.
Well, there's at least four. Okay. I know at least four.
All right. All right, some drivers this week had motor issues. Maybe they should have pitted for tires. They could have called Premier Tire and Auto. They have a history of providing tires, and making sure your car is running great is their passion. They even have courtesy cars, so you don't have to miss work. Locally owned and located off North Lee Highway. Give them a call, 423-479-3365, and get back on the road today. Heater Dud Meter, I'm going with a one. I think it was great.
I'm going with a two. I think it was a very good race. I think the strategies played in a big part of that. You know, it kind of kept you on your toes, wondering if they were going to unlap themselves, wondering how much, you know, room they could make between, you know, make up on the pit stops. I thought it was a good solid race. I'm going to go with two.
Yeah, I'll go right in the middle, because I would have loved to have seen a little bit of racing, although I think technically there was 24 lead changes, but I don't know how many of that stuff just happened in the pits. So on track lead changes, didn't see like there was a ton of that. But it offered up one of those things we're always asking for in racing, and that's variables. And tires made a difference. Just a tire that gives up. And if it gives up some of its speed significantly, like it was at Richmond this week, that makes a difference. And that makes strategy, driver, all that stuff, trying to save tires, trying to do this, trying to do that, just to me makes for a better race. So the last couple of years, I've been pretty happy with our one race at Richmond. I'm not asking for more. One is plenty. But I thought it was a good run on Saturday night.
Kind of a big wreck that we had in the, I guess, third corner, fourth corner, with Kyle Busch going up and taking out probably, Jason, one of the best cars. It would have been, I think, at the night in the Chase Elliott, who wound up finishing dead last. And I guess, Jason, with it being end of regular season this week, I wonder, and I know Kyle reached out to Chase and said, hey, you know, apologize for that. Didn't know you were up there when he came down, and he was kind of recovering from the wreck. But to my point to this is you've got Chase Elliott that needs all the playoff points he can get. He had a good opportunity to score some and couldn't because he got taken out.
Yeah, that's the bad part for Chase when you look, you know, as far as Byron has 17, and he's sandwiched between Byron and Hamlin in the points. Hamlin has 24. Then you got Larson 23, Blaney 11, Bell 17 playoff points. Elliott's got seven or six. So not a good way to start.
But could have walked out of there without maybe three more. I mean,
yeah, and I think that goes back to kind of some of the the banter we've had about Elliott all year is he's been consistent. He's been finishing races. He's been finishing races well.
He's been but he's not been great.
And so that 6 points shows he hasn't been great and dominant in these races.
Five forwards, Scott, finished in the top 10 with Keselowski, Barry, Logano, Centric, and Blaney.
Five forwards that finished in the top 10, and none of them were a threat to win the race.
You could say Blaney was, I guess, at a point in
at
time.
At a point
I think
in the race,
he had 39 laps led.
I think they lost a little bit of the handling of the car. A good showing. Usually, this is a track that's, I think Toyota sponsors the race. Yep. Usually, the Toyotas are just bad fast there and put on a great show. But the was actually a cookout this year. So, surprisingly.
Yeah, I swung by the track a couple years ago, and you got big TRD signs
all over the place.
All over the track.
But a good strong showing. I think the Ford short track program has improved, and you're starting to see a little more depth. But some of those Ford drivers, they needed more than just a good finish. They needed to be up there competing for wins. Keselowski, Buescher's on the fence. Barry's got his win, and then obviously Logano and Blaney have their wins too, but could have been an opportunity for them. They had some pretty good race cars, just couldn't find a way to be there at the end to win the race.
Jason, Alex Bowman was probably just salivating at the mouth, if that's a word. Salivating, there you go. To try to get...
Or salivating, whatever.
Salivate. There's a song, I think.
Foaming at the mouth.
There, that too. But trying to get to... trying to run Austin Dillon down and a little unhappy with a couple of driver's lap cars or whatever that were in the way, and that happens at a short track. But here's the thing. If he gets there, he knew what was on the line. I think that's important. If he gets past Dillon and wins that race, he's in the playoffs. Now he goes to Daytona on the fence. And when you're on the fence at Daytona, it's never good because you're probably going to hit the fence.
Well, if you look and you've got two guys in the top 10 that do not have victories, and Reddick, you've got 14 winners on the year. So Reddick is in there based on his point position.
Right.
Bowman, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
He's in trouble because...
Is it a win you're in?
Do what?
Is it a win you're in, or is it... If
he wins, he's in for sure.
Right, but I'm saying, is that the only way he gets in?
Well, you got, probably about 25 other drivers out there
that's just one wreck at Daytona. You'd have to be lucky.
You've got... there's 25 guys out there that could win that have not won this year. We've seen it at Daytona all the time. You think about... the cars of like Chris Buescher. He's in the same situation.
Right.
But he runs well at Daytona.
Yeah.
Bowman, he can run well.
Keselowski.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You got Eric Jones down there can run well. Kyle Busch can go out there and pick up the victory.
Yeah.
Ty Gibbs, Hosovar. All these guys. There's a lot of guys that could come away with that Daytona or the Coke Zero 400.
Right. And here's the math. There's 14 winners, so we know those 14 people are going to qualify for the playoffs. So that means either that would leave 2 point spots available if no new winners, or at least one person. So you got to think Reddick. Bowman is so far behind Reddick. I don't know that the points are going to matter. I think Bowman's in a situation where he's either got to hope that he has a good day and nobody else wins.
I don't even know how you strategize that. You go to the back.
I think
and
you
wait
just have
everybody
to.
Wrecks
I think you have
go.
To race it like you got to win.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can that he can afford to sit back. But I do want to point out, we got to remember, it wasn't that long ago William Byron was in the very same situation, same organization. They went to Daytona and won the race and got themselves into the playoffs. So it can definitely happen. And if there's an organization out there that can put it together, it's definitely Hendrick. But there's a lot of pressure on that 48 team this week.
Kind of ups and downs going into the playoffs. You always want momentum. I always think back, and I talk about this a lot, with the Florida Marlins. They would come in on a wild card, kind of on a heater, no pun intended,
yes,
and they'd win the championship. You got a couple of drivers, well, one in particular, I think, going the opposite way. Christopher Bell really hasn't been competitive, I don't think, and since I can remember, as far as weeks gone by, finished 21st at Richmond. It really kind of got to put it together. It's not the Christopher Bell of old, and I don't know what the difference is. Or the
Christopher Bell of a couple months ago.
Correct, where he was on fire. He's kind of gone away. And Jason, you need that momentum going into a playoff, especially the kind of playoffs we go into.
Yeah, I think you could say the same thing for the driver in fourth position in points right now and sixth position. Kyle Larson, he's got to overcome some stuff. Well, same thing with Christopher Bell.
Yeah, and this would be one of the questions I'd like to throw to Alex a little bit later in the show is there's some guys, some big-name guys that are way up there in the standings that have kind of, let's be honest, have kind of stunk for about 4 to 6 weeks. And now that the playoffs are starting to ramp out, is there some concern there in these organizations that these guys are just trending in the wrong direction? I don't know that I have an answer to that, but it'd be interesting to get Alex's take a little bit later.
Yeah, I think when you the three that really stand out to me are the 5, the 20, and the 22.
Yeah.
Logano is, you know,
he almost
the only thing with like Logano though is I've seen this song and dance before, and that organization just always seems to come alive once the playoffs start. So it's going to have to be – this is a trend that's going to have to move into the playoffs before I'll become a believer that the 22
and in all fairness this week, I mean, Logano started 38th and Larson started 35th, and they both wound up in the top 6. Yeah. So they did move forward at a short track. Now, look, we had all kinds of crazy, you know, pitch strategies going on and stuff like that. I thought it was funny when Bubba Wallace was trying to actually block his tire – from rolling down the pit road, so and then the 19 crew jumps out and puts it on. So if that baby gets on past the pit road, that's a penalty and somebody's suspended. So kind of crazy when,
yeah,
when you think about that.
It's unfortunate that
didn't happen. But. Yeah. No, really? All right, let's jump into our shock finisher of the week.
Shock finisher of the week brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Two generations of ownership. Give them a call for all your paving needs. 423-336-3841 for your free quote today. I'm going to go with the 3, even though it seems like he has that track figured out. Last year was really fast. Hasn't been fast anywhere else, but was fast at Richmond.
No argument from me. It's number 3.
I'll pick somebody different. I'll take the 11 because anytime that car shows up in Richmond, I expected to be up near the front. And they had some moments in the race where they were pretty racy. Yeah. But in the end, they got caught up in some of that garbage and ended up having a decent day. But anytime the 11's not near the front of the line at Richmond, it's a shock to me.
That is him and Truex's home track. Surprised Truex didn't run there. All right, let me go ahead and give this out. 14th. I know we had a little text thread thing on this thing. Shane Van Gensbergen finishes 14th.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
Solid run for the road course ringer.
Yeah, well, I mean, he finished 2 spots ahead of the guy that wrecked, and Kyle Busch, and took a bunch of cars out. So I don't know that. Well, whatever. They finished 14th.
You got nothing.
Yeah,
got nothing. I'm
trying to have
progress.
Something.
I thought it was progress.
I can't do anything.
I'm starting to look a little more racy.
I just
on
go
these
back to the, you know, hey. Austin Dillon comes up and wins one, and there's no uproar in the Williams studio here.
What was this thing?
He's not deserving.
Let me go back. First of all, I'm letting Alex know that you put the thumbs down on him joining us on Wednesday. I would like to know what that was all about.
That wasn't me.
That was I was laying in bed half asleep, and I just clicked the wrong button and was way too tired to even
correct it.
Yeah, so, just left it.
So Heater sends this deal about how he sends the photo thing of Van Gensbergen in 24th in points and Austin Dillon in 25th. And he goes, oh, boy, more deserving. So he's trying to stir the pot. And he goes, can't believe it took me till now to send this.
What time was it?
This
what
I have. 12:59 p.m.
Yeah, got to be
on
careful
Sunday,
with those.
Sunday afternoon. It wasn't 12:59 a.m.
He just woke up. That was the whole thing. And
yeah, because those text messages have a whole different tone and tenor to them.
I said, give him the wins, but don't let them in, LOL. And then Scott goes, so wins don't matter, ?
We got a whole playoff format based upon winning and getting in or winning and moving forward.
Listen.
But now we don't want to count them because we don't think the guy's worthy.
And then I threw out there that the 3 won last year but didn't get in. So
He may have wrecked somebody to do it, though.
2 people, as a matter of fact. One of them being Denny Hamlin. If Denny Hamlin wasn't in a lawsuit then, that wouldn't have mattered, I don't think. So. All right, let's jump to this Victory Lane interview. It's brought to you by Quick Check Convenience Mart. It's my neighborhood gas station. At Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drinks, plus midnight oil for your car. You can get 100% gasoline for your lawn equipment. Located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road, stop by and fill up today.
Yeah, I guess I'm just like kind of just can't believe it right now a little bit. You know, for everything that it's so hard to win at the cup level, the execution, we were very flawless tonight. And you know, at times I don't think we were the fastest car, but we out-executed people. When the restart happened, we chose the bottom, and I was able to get clean air. I was giving it all I had right there to try and get as far out in front as I could to create that gap. And then when the 12 short pitted us and I had to run him down, I was just trying to be patient, and I thought that race was awesome. And Boswell made a great call and was really adamant that I don't hurt my tires at the beginning of the run, and it paid off. But if you want to call it swagger, I'm all about it. But I feel like growing up in the Truck Series and Xfinity Series, I felt like I had maximum swagger winning and doing different things. And you get to cup level, and it just humbles you. You know, it's a whole other department of winning. So now I'm more thankful than anything. It's not like, kiss my butt, I won. It's more like, man, that was awesome to be able to get a win at the highest level of motorsport and do it for my family, RCR, Welcome, pit crew, all those guys. Like, I'm just the guy that got to wheel it tonight, and thank you, Jesus.
You know, good thing he doesn't win often, so we don't have to hear that. He does have 667 starts between three series, got 13 wins, and he's been an Xfinity and a truck champion. So
they're just excited. That's better than listening to 20 minutes of sponsorship from Martin Truex Jr. when he won.
That's a solid fact.
Okay.
Yeah, with a big old
beard.
Just
wanted to set it straight here.
Yeah. All right, anything you see that's halfway decent on any social media, for us, it's done by WebIve Digital Marketing. They can do the same for you. Make sure you go to webive.com to find out more information. All right, news in the world of NASCAR. We got a lot of it, and we're not happy right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. If that air condition or heater is not, no pun intended, cranking up, make sure you give Dale a call here in Cleveland, 423-509-8787, or do like we do, just call dales.com. News in the world of NASCAR is always brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy. That's my pharmacy and has been for years. If your insurance is denying your weight loss drug, Mouse Creek Pharmacy has weight loss compounds you can pay cash for and are as low as $154. To get more information, go by and see them at 570 Mouse Creek Road in Cleveland or give them a call, 423-790-0443. All right, so a couple quick things before we get on the schedule real quick. 2311 and NASCAR, they are still in their legal battle, actually. Charters are open. In 30 days, they can be sold to whoever they want to. So,
do you think that would be a smart legal move, though, on their part? Because in the base of the claim for 2311 that NASCAR's a monopoly,
sounds like some of the claim that 2311 or that NASCAR came back with is 2311 wanted special treatment as far as their charter. So I don't know. I don't know enough about that whole legal mumbo jumbo to be able to say.
Could be a good question for Alex.
Could be. Anything to me would be if there's charters wide open, I don't think NASCAR is going to sell them for market value in comparison to what if you bought it from Denny or bought it from whoever.
I just wish we'd go back to the day when you got about 43 cars that go out there, and then you get Morgan Shepherd to go out there and start and park. I mean, those were the simple days.
He'd probably still do that.
I mean, those were the entertaining days.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but all this legal, you know, jargon and all this legal news, it's getting a little old.
I don't remember if football or baseball or basketball ever had issues, and maybe they did up front trying to figure out the franchise deal. It seems like Jordan's always been against franchise or against the league, part of a franchise with the Hornets. I think he fought the NBA for a while.
But the only thing you hear about professionals is if there's a threat to go on strike with a collective bargain agreement that never happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, this legal stuff is just, I don't know. I'm just tired of hearing
especially
about
when
it.
The majority of the teams are like, whatever, just give
it's,
me a,
it's
give
every
me a check.
Week, you know, something's coming out about this garbage, and yeah, it's just getting really old. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe they'll win. That'll be a cool thing if 2311 wins. So, or start another NASCAR series.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. We can do this show twice a week. That would be a lot of fun.
30 minutes and 30 minutes. Matt Crafton, done after this year. What a career for this guy in the Craftsman Truck Series. The guy that Jason stuck in the Craftsman Truck Series for a long time. Scott.
Well, I was going to say, as far as Crafton, he was one of those guys that he had such a – you thought he was going to be one of the next dudes.
Yeah.
And it just kind of found like he – I mean, he had some opportunities. He ran some races in the top series, but he never could really get attached to somebody. And I know money and all that stuff kind of plays a role. But this guy is a truck legend, one of the probably – I mean, outside of Kyle Busch, who just go out there and lap the field, but – you know, a guy that ran regularly that just kind of did it the right way. Just a great career. Another one of these guys who here in 5, 6, 8, 10 years from now, we're talking about probably could be Hall of Fame worthy. That's the kind of impact he had on the truck series.
You know who he reminds me of, and just because he always stayed in that series. But, you know, Randy LaJoy would never race on Sundays, yeah. You know, and he was like, hey, I'm fine right here. And he ran the Busch series for years and years and years, but he never stepped up to cut because he wasn't going to race on Sundays.
Crafton was one that was able to keep kind of the same sponsor for a long time, too, which was unique. I just noticed something. You boys are actually drinking out of the same
type of cup.
Well, we're not same type. Yeah, the same type of cup, not the same cup. That would have been weird.
I cheated on Speedway, and I had to go down here because I was in a hurry.
Right, yeah. I was wondering, y'all talk about that. All right, schedule. Look, what Dover does not need an all-star race, I'm sorry.
Can we at least let it happen then make our decision, or are you just going to be
No, because what is it? I mean, it's not like we're sitting here.
Ooh, he's fired up.
Wednesday before Dover, Delaware, we're sitting here like can't even sit still in our chair because we're so freaking excited that they're going to race on a Sunday at Dover, Delaware.
Let's give it a chance. We're not going to – these all-star races, they come up with little quirky stuff where you have restarts, okay? So that's one thing that's going to benefit this race is you're going to have multiple restarts, not these long green flag runs. So, you know, I'm not excited about it either by all means. But when I sit and think about it, they are going to break it up.
At least they'll break it up. You know, maybe the tire makes a difference because they've last few years at North Wilkesboro, they brought two sets of different types of compound tire. So maybe that would open up a second lane because that's really the issue. There's really one groove around that track, and that's the preferred groove. And if you can't run in it, you just can't move forward. So I'm going to give it a chance, but I'm like you. I'm suspicious that it's not going to be very exciting.
The only good thing that to come out of that, I guess, for the people in Wilkesboro County is they're going to get a full race. They'll have North Wilkesboro's getting a 400-miler.
I was going to say the good thing, another good thing about it is the temperature. No. You know, it's in the summertime, you know, down south. I mean, it's hot as blazes down here. We know that. You go up there, and it's a little bit of a relief, potentially. We've seen some heat waves go through up there in that area, but... Yeah, it doesn't scream excitement to me, but hey.
I have a question, and I don't know the answer to this. Are they keeping their race?
Yes.
They are keeping this, so they're going to run the All-Star race at Dover and then go back, where they were there, 2-3 weeks ago and run the same time of year again?
I'm not excited
about two races at Dover, people.
Well, and while he's looking that up, I know they moved Talladega to the first race in the last – three playoff races to go to the championship. So they're where they were, kind of a cutoff.
They're the second race in the last segment.
Yeah.
You got Phoenix, Talladega, Martinsville, and they end at Homestead.
Right. So they move Phoenix up because Homestead will be the championship track. They move Phoenix up, so it's still involved in the playoffs.
In the final weeks of the playoffs.
Right. And then we go to San Diego. Of course, we've made that announcement and talked about that. So.
Dover, that All-Star race is the only race at Dover next year.
It is the only race. Now, that to me, that makes a difference because I don't want to go there twice.
I just don't see the lure in, like, even Charlotte,
they were going to go to Dover regardless.
Burnout.
Would you rather it be a points race or would you rather it be something
when you
gimmicky?
Go 400 miles at Dover, but when you're going
No, I would actually, I would disagree because I think the restarts are what make Dover not long once they get all spread out, then they're just out there turning laps.
That's what I was kind of alluding to there. I was like, you know, you could bring some intrigue to it with the restarts instead of having these long green flag runs.
Right.
Like we always see up there.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, let's move to the NASCAR Cup point standings. They're brought to you by Bree Maia with Cry Like Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is the realtor I trust. Sold my dad's house in January, and you should too. Give her a call, 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now for your time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings. After the running of the Cookout 400 at Richmond Speedway, William Byron, who we've yet to mention on the show, is your regular season champion with one race to go because Elliott couldn't keep it on the track last week. He has a 68-point lead over Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, top five, Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick, Chase Bowman, Alex Bowman, Chase Briscoe, Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace, Chris Buescher, Joey Logano, Ryan Pearce, Priest, golly, man, reading is difficult today, Ross Chastain, Austin Cindric, and Kyle Busch. These are the names you have to be paying attention to this weekend. Tyler Reddick, Alex Bowman, Chris Buescher, Ryan Preece, and then from Kyle Busch down. Kyle Busch, Ty Gibbs, Allmendinger, Keselowski, all those guys. It's gonna have to be winning in for them. But that is your NASCAR Cup Series standings.
Remaya, Krylock Realtors. You need her to sell your home or buy that dream home. 1-269-598-6243. All right, it's time to move on to the next race. We'll do it with Alex Hayden with MRN right after this.
We got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland, 101.3. More Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's always fun entering the third segment when we're down to the last regular season race at Daytona to bring the guy who's going to be calling the race with MRN Radio, Alex Hayden. Welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, thanks for having me back on. Hope you guys are having a great Wednesday.
It's a little wet up here. It was raining today.
Yeah, so. Like we need more rain.
I know.
Alex, you're not getting any rain bands.
We got high waves, but yeah. No, we got sunshine.
Yeah, I started to say, you guys dodged a bullet as big as that dang hurricane is out there. So,
Yeah, the outer bands have come over. We had a little sprinkle this morning, and we've got some clouds. But right now, it's bright and sunny. It's a little breezy, but it's going to stay offshore. No big deal.
Yeah, anytime Alex sees a hurricane coming, he goes ahead and puts the...
I was going to say, do we put the car up on the
block? No, he puts the Miata up on blocks. It's automatic when hurricane season comes around, so... I'll never forget that picture. I think it was on Twitter. He put it on there with that on block. So, all right, a lot to talk about, Alex. Let's just go to the schedule. I like going back to Miami, you know, for the last race, the championship race. I think that's a good move. Moving Talladega into that last round.
Another
a great
one of
move
my
too.
Alex Hayden favorite moments.
Yeah.
Calling us from standing in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right. That was kind of funny. And, but, All-Star race at Dover. I didn't have that in my cards, and I'm like sitting here thinking to myself, the bright idea of who to come up and say, you know what, let's just take this All-Star race and let's go to dang Delaware.
Well, yeah, so that's kind of a collaboration deal, but Marcus Smith owns Speedway Motorsports and Dover Motor Speedway, North Wilkesboro, Charlotte, a handful of other racetracks. It's NASCAR's race, but they have an agreement because it is a race weekend for SMI and their revenue stream. So there's an agreement in place that they can move it as long as they will keep it at one of their racetracks and keep a date. They did some polling, and the fans said that they wanted a points race at North Wilkesboro, which I think is a massive mistake. They wanted a points race at North Wilkesboro. They signed. So Speedway Motorsports needed a place for the All-Star race to maintain a revenue stream, and they took the points race away from Dover, so they're going to All-Star racing at the Monster Mile. I was trying to do a little research, but quite honestly, my ADD kicked in. I don't remember the last time we had an All-Star race run in the daytime. There are no lights at the Monster Mile. I don't foresee them spending a gazillion dollars to add lights just for one All-Star race. So this will be an interesting one for sure.
That may be Charlotte back when Earnhardt maybe wrecked Waltrip.
Could be.
And told him to take that money and stick it somewhere or something like that. I think that was during the day.
I wasn't even thinking.
That was Rusty Wallace that did that, and Rusty said it was $250,000 and I've already spent it.
Yeah.
It was his famous line.
That's hilarious. Any other things that stick out in the schedule to you? I know, you know, you're you're rolling every, you know, week to week going and calling these races. We knew San Diego was going to be there. Moving Talladega to the, well, you know, one of the last three races in the playoffs, to me, is a pretty good move.
I like that. I mean, it adds an element of excitement. It puts a drafting track in there when it certainly matters. And that's going to force everybody to race hard at Talladega. Not that they don't already, but if you're a playoff driver, you got to win to get to championship weekend, which I love that we're going to the homestead for the championship. I think that's the best racetrack on the circuit.
Yep.
I think one of the interesting moves to me is moving Watkins Glen to the month of May. That's an interesting move to me because we haven't raced at Watkins Glen in early May. So additionally, it's still, I'm not going to say cold by any means, but it's just spring up there in the hills of central New York. So I think that's going to be a big one. What the track condition going to be like? Because we know when we race it here in late summer, it's hot and slick and presents different challenges. So I think that's a big one. The other one that jumps off the page is not on the Cup Series schedule. It's the Craftsman Truck Series. There's a race on there, and I don't know how many people paid attention to this one. The running in St. Petersburg, Florida, in early spring, in conjunction with the IndyCar Series. So NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series running at the street circuit in St. Pete, along with IndyCar. I think that one slides by a lot of people because, quite honestly, people look at the Cup schedule and kind of put everything else as kind of an afterthought on opening day of the schedule release. But to me, that's a big one because I think we're laying some groundwork here. I would not at all be surprised to see some more doubleheaders with IndyCar, given the fact that Roger Penske owns IndyCar. So I think it makes sense on the business side of things.
Alex, we've been we talked a little bit earlier in the show about some of these drivers that are pretty elevated in point, and they're comfortably, I mean, they've won races, they're in the playoffs, but have not been really kind of hitting on all cylinders. You can look at, you know, Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe, there's some other names out there that are sitting fine in points, are going to be in the playoffs, but really not, even Larson to a degree over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 weeks. Should we be concerned with some of those drivers as we get ready to start the playoffs, or is this just one of those things is maybe these teams were already kind of prepping for what's going to happen in the future and not really concerned about what was going on in the here and now?
Great question. And you look at Kyle Larson, go back 12 weeks.
It's not been good.
The stretch that he's been on is the worst 12 weeks statistically since Kyle Larson's been with Hendrick Motorsport. It's been awful. He's averaging, a 23rd place finish over 12 weeks. Here's the thing that if you're a Larson fan or a Steve Bell fan or any of these guys you named that are just kind of stubbing their toe and just seem like they're meandering along, even though they are in the playoffs, I wouldn't worry about it. And the reason I wouldn't worry is because when you look at what Joey Logano has done over the last few years, there's a formula to this. You go out, you race early, get playoff eligible early, and then you can have the luxury of trying different things. We know these cars are very equal, so you got to try different things. There is no more testing. Practice is few and far between. So the best time to try and experiment is during a race. And quite honestly, once you get playoff eligible, that happens. And it typically happens through the summer stretch. So I wouldn't necessarily be standing out on a ledge if I'm a fan of those drivers contained there, because it's time to go playoff racing. They're going to get back to what they do best.
Alex Bowman was talking about him earlier in the first segment. We're breaking down Richmond, you know, was probably pushing a little too hard to get to the 3 car to win because he knew he had to do that to get in. Now he does have a win to get in my opinion. How does he run this race on Saturday night? I mean, it's one of the things where you almost want to start and stay in the back to avoid the wreck, you know, that hopefully takes out some of the people that could, you know, possibly be in front of you or win, and then go up and start racing. It's just one of those things, if you're Bowman, you almost have to just find something, commit to it, and go with it and hope for the best.
I think you have to be fluid. You can't be married to one particular strategy. It's ironic to bring up Bowman. I literally just got off the phone with him 40 minutes ago or so talking about some of this stuff.
But name dropping again.
Man, here we go, name dropping again.
No,
hold on one second. Jeff Gordon's calling me.
that's just part of the prep. You know, you got to talk to these guys. And Bowman, I mean, it's good news, bad news, right? He's in the playoffs with 60 points. That's a heck of an advantage. Bad news is he's the guy on the bubble. And he's just hoping everybody that's below him that doesn't have a win doesn't have a sharp needle in his eye. It's that simple. And I think the reason you got to be fluid on all of this is because you're racing two different things. You go out and try to win the race, you don't have to worry about it. We all know winning at Daytona requires some luck on your side, and you just can't control things all the way from start to finish. But if I'm Alex Bowman and that team, stage points matter. And you gotta hope. You can say you don't wish bad luck on anybody, but heck, there's a lot of money on the prestige. I guarantee that they're hoping something bad happens to Tyler Reddick's car, and maybe he gets swept up in a crash. And if that's the case, if Reddick gets swept up in it, they're only 28 points or whatever it is, 26 points behind Reddick. They can easily leapfrog Tyler Reddick here in this thing. If Reddick does not score stage points in the first or second stage and Bowman does, that could really chop into that deficit. Then it becomes just literally 1 point per position. You start managing where you're racing Tyler Reddick to get out of 16th position in the point standing. So I think it all comes, where is Tyler Reddick racing? And believe me, Tyler Reddick and that team, Bill Scott, the crew chief, they're doing the same thing. They're going to keep a close eye and race where Alex Bowman is on the racetrack.
All right, let's jump to 2311, speaking of Tyler Reddick and 2311 and NASCAR. I read a couple of things from Bob Pockers with Fox Racing, Fox Motorsports, about the fact that charters could be open for purchase. Scott had mentioned earlier that I don't know that NASCAR would want to do that from a PR standpoint. I don't know all the legal mumbo jumbo on what's going on. Is there any way you can give us like a 15-second clip in layman's terms of where we are in this lawsuit now? And if that is an opportunity to where you could have a team like a Junior Motorsports that might want to move up that could get a charter at not market value because it would be NASCAR and could get it cheaper because NASCAR has it.
Yeah, in a quick synopsis, basically there's another injunction filed by 2311 Motor and Front Row, who's also involved in this, that they want to come back and be earning everything a charter team gets. They want all the benefits of it. When NASCAR says, you refuse to sign it, why do you want the benefits? And a judge agreed with them. But, of course, when you lose that, the way the court system works, you have a chance to come back and appeal that and do that again. So that's what 2311 is doing right now. They want the benefits of being a charter team. They just don't want to sign the contract, which makes zero sense and, quite honestly, makes the case for NASCAR. So that's kind of where we're at right now. Yes, NASCAR, if 2311 loses this appeal, NASCAR can, in fact, sell these charters. There are some teams out there that very much want that. And there are some manufacturers out there that want to be in the NASCAR Cup Series, but they're not going to come into the Cup Series unless they have a guaranteed starting spot. And the way the business model is, you understand that. And I say manufacturers, plural, because there are multiple manufacturers that want to come Cup racing, but they don't want to do it unless they have guaranteed spots.
That is a lot. And that can make a big difference. And maybe you know this, maybe you don't. I'd say you do. If NASCAR has those charters, I know there's four extra that NASCAR has that they hold on to. If that's three or four, I can't remember how many charters are up if that lawsuit goes the opposite for 2311. Does NASCAR then just give that to whatever teams are coming in, or is there a price because they were bought at a market value, which was, in my opinion, really high? So does that make them lower, like I said earlier, or do they sell them for what they're worth?
That is something that is going to be privileged information behind closed doors because of the lawsuit. Quite honestly, that's what it is, because NASCAR's going to be very hush-hush, and certainly they're going to disclose information to the courts and things of that nature, but given the fact that they're being sued. So, yeah, they're going to be very careful with what they do, including what they make public. So they're not going to put any of that information out right now. If I had to put my best guess out there, I would say that they are going to sell them. This is still a business, and they're still there to make money. So, yeah, I would guess that they would sell the charters to the new teams and or manufacturers to bring in new teams. I don't see anybody getting a handout. I mean, come on. Nobody in any business gets much for free.
Well, in 2018, they all got a handout, right?
Everybody except for the Wood Brothers, and they got denied the handout because of Joe Gibbs, who did not like it. He was the one that voted against it. So the Wood Brothers did not get grandfathered in with a charter. They had to come back and buy one.
Oh,
that stinks. Yeah. All right, Alex, you've made some of the greatest predictions on this show of all time, going back almost a full decade now. I want to give you an opportunity 11 weeks before the end of the season. Who do you think wins the championship in Phoenix this year?
Oh, my gosh. We all know how big of a crapshoot it is, but I'm going to stick to my guns with who I liked at the start of the year. And somebody you mentioned a while ago that they've not just stubbed their toe. They've basically jammed their foot into the coffee table. But I think Christopher Bell's the guy. That's the guy I thought at the beginning of the year. They had a great opening quarter to the season. I'm going to tell you, they have tried some things to find speed a few races this year. But quite honestly, they had a lot of self-inflicted problems, from pit road problems to driver problems with speeding on pit road and missing the commitment line at Richmond. They were in position to contend for a potential win at Richmond last week until Christopher Bell missed the commitment line coming to pit lane. So they have to clean up a lot of these problems that they've been creating for themselves. But I like Christopher Bell.
Last question, Alex. Matt Crafton, what a career in the Truck Series. To my knowledge, I think he did it all with one sponsor. Maybe a couple of years that he didn't have that, but same car number. It was, you looked out there, you saw that car number of the truck, you knew it was Matt Crafton. Talk about his career in the Truck Series.
Yeah, he started being from California, where Kevin Harvick is from. Started driving for Kevin Harvick Incorporated back when Harvick had a Truck Series team. And did okay. He won a couple of races, but in quite honestly, back in those days in that equipment, Kevin Harvick with top-notch equipment thought he should do more and released him. He found a home there at Thor Sport, which is based in Sandusky, Ohio, and has made his living basically driving there in that Thor Sport 88 Menards truck. So he's a champion, and he's proven himself in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. He found his niche in racing the trucks each and every week that they were on the track and did really well at it. And I think he'll be still in a truck somewhere. I don't know if he'll be full-time or not, but I do think he still will drive some in the Craftsman Truck Series. He's too experienced not to. Has he had a great last couple, 3 years? No. He's been mediocre and maybe somebody we mentioned on the radio just in the full field rundowns, but he's still a champion. He knows how to race these things, and maybe he just needs a different start, a fresh beginning, if you will, too. So we'll wait to see what the future holds for Matt Crafton, but a talented driver and a champion, and wish him nothing but success.
All right, you're heading down to Daytona. I just need you to make sure you look on the wall in the media room when you're in there and you see my picture, my three laps at Daytona on average 160. Being a non-driver.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, send that to me.
It's on the bulletin board next to the most wanted.
Yeah, for sure.
That is awesome. All right, man. Well, listen, we appreciate it. Have a great call. Have a safe trip down at Daytona. And as always, we appreciate you and have a great time.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Alex. It's Alex Hayden with MRN Radio. All right. We need to jump into fantasy time. I'm probably going to look really bad in the standings. But listen, we all have a chance. It's Daytona. We'll talk about it right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. It's time to jump into the Rick Cart Fantasy Standings. I want to say thanks to Alex Hayden for joining us. And as always, the Rick Cart Fantasy Standings brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. You know Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team.
Yes.
This is the perfect sponsor for us because, well, they race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com for more information. Didn't get to get to it last segment. Let's jump into the schedule real quick here.
The schedule. You've got the Xfinity Series running on Friday on the CW at 7:30, and Saturday the Cup race on NBC at 7:30.
I like it.
I like it too.
Another night race.
I love it.
All right, Richmond standings.
Richmond standings in fantasy. Kevo Racing first, going to rattle your cage number three second, followed by Blake Bull, the real Lyle, myself, Brandon Gaines, Arnold Tarpley, Untethered Racing, RLM Racing, Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, Loving Left Turns, Teddy O. And
glad going to rattle your cage horribly.
Overall, Teddy O is leading. RLM Racing, going to rattle your cage number three.
Horrible.
Is in third, Brandon Gaines.
Garth.
Kevo Racing. I keep falling. I'm in sixth now. Arnold Tarpley, Jamie Kyle, Untethered Racing, Loving Left Turn, Scott Webb, Blake Boyle, The Real Lyle, and Bentley Thomas.
Oh. But all that matters is the playoffs.
Hey, that's right. That's
so
right.
All that matters is the playoffs.
That's what y'all keep coming telling up. Me every week. All right, let's jump into the starters I've got for Daytona. Who knows? And these definitely will change. I've got Alex Bowman, Chris Buescher, and Ricky Stenhouse, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch is my top five with Denny Hamlin in the won Daytona 500 a couple times. He's in the garage. I've got Austin Dillon over Chris Buescher. I'll have to change that. Bowman over Reddick. I've got Busch over Priest, and I've got Keselowski over Ty Gibbs. Hot pick, according to NASCAR, if you bet. William Byron, Chris Buescher. Avoid Kyle Larson. Avoid Denny Hamlin. Thank you very much. And the sleeper, Alex Bowman. If you got a gambling problem, stop. Peter.
I'm going with William Byron, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott. Ignoring what NASCAR says, I'm taking Kyle Larson. Going Christopher Bell, Alex Bowman, which makes me a little nervous here because I got all four Hendrick cars in there. I'm going Buescher over Dillon, Bowman over Reddick, Busch over Priest, and Keselowski over Gibbs.
Dillon could be sneaky. He's good on super speedways. So a lot of the same names. I got Buescher, Bowman, Keselowski, Busch, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I got Reddick in my garage. I got Buescher over Dillon. I got Reddick over Bowman, Priest over Busch, and Brad Keselowski over Ty Gibbs.
All right, definitely should be interesting anytime we go to Daytona. Who knows who's going to win? What it does make for is an interesting show, and we'll have one next week. We'll break down Daytona International Speedway and then get you ready for the first round of the playoffs at Darlington Raceway. For Scott Webb, for Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.